Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what are Takfiri doing? Why are they doing it? And how can they be stopped?
In the previous episode of Islam and Life, we asked, who exactly are the Takfiris, and where have they come from? Born from historic political ideologies, they are responsible for some of the worst acts of terrorism in the modern world. The Islamic communities have long denounced their ideologies as falling far outside all recognized schools of thought. But where are they currently operating? And who is supporting them or funding them? Many believe they are supported in one way or another by Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf states, Israel, and Western powers. But why would they give such support, particularly when the same ideologies guide the terrorists in their own lands? What common objective do they hope to achieve? In today's Islam and Life, we ask, what are Takfiris doing? Why are they doing it? And how can they be stopped?
If we look at the situation in the Muslim majority countries and sometimes even in the West, we can see that there are trends that are positioning themselves. They are not the majority, they are not the mainstream. They are on the margin of what Islam is, whatever the tradition in the Shia, in the Sunni tradition. And we have people within the communities that are taking stands that are rejecting other trends and even putting people outside Islam in a way which is problematic. So the question here is, what are they doing exactly now? What is the state of affairs? And why are they doing this? And how are they working within the communities? And the big question is, from within, as the Muslims and the mainstream Muslim trends that are acknowledged as part of the accepted diversity in Islam, how can we stop these trends from trying to achieve their goals and being involved in the community and deciding who is within Islam and who is outside? So to answer all these questions, I'm joined by my guest, Middle East analyst Qasim Al-Hashmi. Thank you so much for being with us today. This is a very important question that we have seen in many, many countries, especially in the Middle East, but not only, where we have now the Takfiris that are operating in a way which is targeting people and deciding, sometimes in the name of a very narrow and sometimes wrong interpretation of Islam, who is within and who is outside. If you look at the situation now in the Middle East, if you look at the situation in the center, so to speak, of the Muslim majority countries, what is happening now with them exactly?
Thank you very much for letting me have the opportunity to discuss a such important, dangerous, scary subject, sensitive subjects like this, and it's very important to do. If we, before going answering into this question, we better first go into the history as when they have started, when did those group has been born and why. And I guess those groups started quite long time ago, about 1,300 years almost now, and they've been used and born by and supported by a dictator, politically dictatorship, to avoid the Islamic law, the real Islamic law, which make him hide of the questioned from the religion, from the people. And that's why he was in need, that dictatorship was in need to organize a group that they support him, fight on his behalf.
So just one thing, because this is about history. We have had a program on the history and the very essence of it. Now, what you are saying, which is important, is that it's not new. It's something which has a very long history. history. True. And it was, in fact, instrumentalized by political forces. True. Just to divide the Muslims. So something that we know is dictators.
Right.
So if we now, come to, is it the same now? Would you say
it's
the same?
Well, exactly. It's an extent to that, to the history, to the past. It's extent to now. Who is using the, now who are they? What they are doing? That was your question.
Yes.
What they are doing?
Hmm.
Who are they? Whom they are being supported by? And what? Why they do that? This is a such, explain to us. It's very easy to recognize that there are a power after those. There are a power whom they are feeding them, supporting them, taking them, accommodating them. This power is very well known now. It's in the Middle East power, Middle East rich families whom they are controlling a rich region, a rich countries, Saudi families, Al Thani families, very rich area, and they have got billions and billions lying everywhere, and they are distributing it everywhere. They know that, those families whom they are ruling these countries, this rich area, they don't want to be questioned. They don't want to be liable to be questioned by neither the their people nor by the Islamic law itself or by the nation themselves. They think they are dictatorship, and that's why they need those people as their arm to fight on their behalf while they become outside the question.
So what you are saying, mainly, if we look at the situation now in the Middle East, mainly all these trends that are working and operating at the grassroots level, these people are mainly supported by governments, by power that have in fact a vested interest
in goals in
the region. So do we have trends that are coming from within the society which are not in fact nurtured are supported by governments? Because it's not always clear who is doing what.
Well, of course. Because this subject is quite big subject. It's not just a small. Those troops are what I call them troops, because they are divided into so many groups and so many tensions. Most of them are supported from governments and supported from families. Mm. Those governments are not necessarily from Saudi Arabia and Qatar. They are also supported by Western government, by American government, not the government even, but security, head state security of those countries.
But that's very interesting. We'll come now about how are they working. What you are saying now is that Western countries that are perceived by these very people as outside, of course, Islam, kuffar, and are rejected in Islamic religious terms, are in fact supported by people they consider as their enemy.
That's exactly what the...
So why?
Right. Those troops serve one goal at the end of the day. They serve one goal. They serve the goal of the dictatorship at the Islamic side, at the Islamic part countries, Arabic part countries, if you say, and they serve at the other side the political goal for the Western countries. Western countries, of course, they make use of them because they put them at the middle of the Islamic society, Arab society, and create the continual unresting situation which resulted in Arab worlds and Islamic countries are always weak and always in need for the Western countries to protect them and steal, I would say it just straightforward, steal and take their money. The Arab state or the Islamic state, they are using them to use them as an arms to get hided from buying a question, and in the meantime hit their enemies. For you take now the situation.
What do you mean by enemies?
Okay,
to hit
now
the enemies.
Exactly. Now take the example. That's what I want to explain. Okay. Now take the example. What's going now at the Middle East now? Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Lebanon, Iran, all these countries, Libya.
Egypt. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Egypt. See how many revolution go and come. What is the situation is happening in Egypt and who is getting involved and who wanted to bring who? This is the enemies that Saudi, for example, family is considering. Sometimes the Mubarak is their friend. The Akhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslims, the brother, when they come, they consider them as their enemies. And that's why they are after them to take them away from the power, bring the army again, which is not a good and legal steps from the army. However, this is not a political analyzing. It's we're talking about those takfiris. And they supported the army to take the Islamic back in because they consider them their enemies. What is happening in Syria? Saudi Arabia is also considering the Syrian are their enemies, and thus they are unable to go directly themselves into a war against Syria. So they use their hand. They knew that they are incapable of entering into a war because they have entered a war before with Houthis in Yemen, and they find themselves that they are not capable military to win or to go into a war. That's why they send those particular people. Sometimes they are using.
But what is the goal? What is the main goal? Because if I listen to you, it's okay. We got the message that they are instrumentalized and they are tools and means through which Western governments are using this to divide the Muslims. So what you are saying, mainly there are two sources that are nurturing the whole process from within and from outside.
Right.
And it could
be
an alliance between within and outside. Okay. To do what? To divide the Muslims?
Make them weak?
To make them weak. But if they make them weak, for example, they are going to be themselves quite weak. What are the main purposes of the whole strategy?
They are as they are, and they have been born this way, and they have been established this way. They wanted to remain this way, Saudi Arabia as it is, Kuwait, Qatar, Emirates, Bahrain, and the rest of those rich Emirates to remain as they are. They are weak at the present. They are scared of buying another countries around them are becoming strong. That's why they don't want Egypt to become a strong country. They don't want Iraq to become a strong country. They don't also want the Syria to become a strong country. If any of those countries around them, and that's why they are also fighting Iran, because Iran is also trying to get strong and united, and they don't like it. This is does not suit their goals. They wanted all people, all countries around them is very very weak, and to ensure that their seats and they are on their chairs for as long as possible.
So what you are saying, which I think it's important, there are means to destabilize all these countries and to make them weak. In fact, it's a whole political agenda. So, and then you have the some of these states that are, you named it, because Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, and others are supporting, in fact, to protect themselves and to have the which, by the way, is something which is not far from the Zionist entity. This is what they need.
They
need the Middle East to be completely destabilized. Now, that's okay. We can think about this. Okay, this is the big picture. Now, I went and met some of these people. And when you talk to them, they're not involved in politics. They don't talk about politics. They say, no, we don't want to be involved in politics. Our issue is a religious issue.
True.
So if we think about how are we going to challenge this vision, if you come with the big picture, people are going to say, oh, it's again politics, while their issue is religious, is takfiri mean who is a Muslim and who is not, who is right and who is wrong, who is within and who is outside. So how do you tackle this issue? Shall we look at it from a religious viewpoint or only through the big political picture?
I'm sure what you said is very important, and it is the fact also that those groups are divided into groups and the groups. Some of them, yes, they never talk politics because they are not involved in politics. All what they know is what they gain of education, and that's why I said this. This is long history, and it has been supported with hundreds of billions and billions of dollars. Investing in this does not mean investing in politics side of it. It's in they are invested their money. This money has been invested in religious centers. Look to the mosque here in United Kingdom where we live here in. In London, and go to any mosque that those takfiris are running. Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. And see what they talk, what really their heads. I don't mean their followers, the heads. Now, if you come to the heads, and you discuss with them as to why they are doing that, why they are burning the world, why they having no subject but Shi'i and Sunni only, why they have got no subject to develop the Islam, why they have no subject to develop women's, why they have no subject to develop children's, why the women are not allowed to open the window, why the woman is not allowed to drive a car, why the woman is not allowed to go discussing her life. Why the woman has got no right, and why children has to follow their father like slaves, which is also all things. You will, at the end of the day, come with one solution. They've got no explanation, no philosophy. Those people has came right from the top of an apolitical, 100% political, but 100% political reasons, but the people whom they are running this organization are so clever, and that's why they have divided it into a division that a such division that they don't know about politics, and when they talk only about religion, and once you are not following them, you are definitely outside the religion and against them.
You are making a difference between the leaders and the scholars that are directing and leading
exactly.
the whole, and
exactly.
the followers.
Exactly.
And what you are saying is that mainly the leaders are political, and it might be that the followers are religious and they don't understand the political equation of the thing. Now, our question is, in the Middle East, first, a very simple question. Shall we act? Shall we do something from within? As they are not the mainstream. The mainstream is not following this, but still they have an authority. There is an authoritative voice because it's coming from the center of the Islamic world and center with Saudi Arabia, for example. So they have an authoritative voice, that's for sure. So how do we tackle this multidimensional thing? The leaders are political, the followers might be not. They have an authority and still a religious authority, and then this is hiding the political agenda. If now you think that we have to stop, at least resist these trends, what could be the steps?
In my opinion, there are so many steps and ways that we should take to tackle, stop, repair the damage, even what they have made, because they have made big damages. I think first things we need to do, and we are shortage of, is a team of analyzing, a team of studying, a team of researching as to which way they are getting supported, where those supporters come from.
Studying the movements
exactly,
and like, mapping.
Now, yeah. once we do that, we will know exactly where is the, who are they, and then we can treat it, we can deal with it. This is This is very important, and is very, and no one has yet taken the responsibility of such sponsoring like a such team or a such organization to have an academic study with a hard approve and like to enable us, at least to enable the people with attention of this subject, is to give a solution of how to treat it.
To study the phenomenon. Now, you are still dealing with women and men on the ground that are following, sometimes very sincere people, very sincere religiously speaking. They don't get the political big picture, but they are very sincere, and they say, this is Islamic and this is not. How do you deal with these people?
Yes, you are right, and that's why I said they are divided into a lot of divisions. Of course, once the moment that a team, a research team, is also a divided team. It's not just a team to have one file, one gate. In that team, they should have like a team to study. Which organization, which financial organization is after them? A team is to study as to how, what is the fundamentality, what is the understanding of those fundamentals, the followers. Are they divided into divisions, into group or not? How do we deal with? There are a lot of ways. If we only take the part of those people, only women, children, whom they talk only religion, I think we're not going to solve the trouble. We don't go to solve the problem.
We may
be able to convince some of them. But how many others have been born while we've convinced a few people?
We don't have much time, but very quickly, if now we take the other side, which is the political side of the equation, on the political side, what can we do? Very quickly.
A research team, capable team.
Thank you so much for that. I think that the starting point of the discussion here, it's once we have the historical background, because this is very important to understand that this is not a new phenomenon. It's something which was in the Muslim majority countries, and very often, and this is what you said and stressed on, is these were trends that were instrumentalized by power, just to protect their own power or to divide the followers. And this is something which is important. The second part is that we have followers that are very, very sincere, and they are not the same as the leaders that could be politically oriented and having another agenda. And to know this, what you are suggesting to do, how they work, how they operate on the ground, and how we can respond to the threat, because it's a threat from within, knowing that they are not the majority, but people on the margin, is studying the phenomenon to know how to answer. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam in Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program. So get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam in Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam in Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Qasim El-Hajmi. Thank you so much for being with us and your input. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.